The Secret Diary of Anne Dank. Valentine's Day, 1997. No cards, not that I care. Boys are weak and shallow. Usual meaningful morning dialogue with my mother.
Anne! Help! I'm stuck in the bathroom!
Get a good grip on the handle and turn it, Mother. She's so dim. For someone with 4 degrees, my mother is exceptionally dim. Usual meaningful morning dialogue with my father at the breakfast table. Dad, your tie's in your egg.
Oh, blast. So it is.
Just like any other day in the Dank household. But beneath this layer of domestic tedium lay a bomb waiting to explode. A grenade waiting to ignite. A foot waiting to be trodden on. My dad.
Protesting Too Much by Kate Brooke and Sally Phillips, starring John Fortune and Eleanor Bron. Episode 1.
Taxi for Mr. Dank!
Just coming! Now, leave briefcase, take tea. No, take tea, leave briefcase. Oh, no.
Don't be nervous, Dad. Just say the same sentence over and over again and you'll be fine.
Put tea down, pick briefcase up. It's not as easy as that, Anne.
Sorry, am I being naive again?
Taxi for Mr. Dank.
Just coming!
How many taxis did you order?
I've no idea. Now, key phrases, new labour, new danger, don't mention Europe, or pensions, or the Royal Yacht.
Or the NHS.
Or party funding.
Or VAT on food.
Or homelessness.
And don't mention the war.
But that was good for us, wasn't it?
Mortaci! The computer won't print my Gandhi lecture! And...
Plug it in!
Oh. Bye, Hermione. Wish me luck.
Father's leaving now, Mother. Come and be supportive. Do you want my lucky troll, Dad?
Happy Valentine's Day!
Look, Anne, it's a big day for me.
Love you!
Cape for Dank!
Bye, Dad. Maybe there's a post-strike.
Now, if possible, steer conversation away from rail track, Jubilee line extension, and European vehicle exhaust directives. Oh, drat! My briefcase! Avoid swampy and animal, and if asked about second runway at Manchester, say, my notes. Generate thousands of jobs. Probably. What am I going to do with this mug? Oh, it'll be fine, George. You're a clever man, and you're in facts of the controls. Now, Europe. Doral. Oh, I feel sick.
You're all right, Gov. You gonna chunder?
Wait and see.
Sorry?
No, I was just saying, the government are utterly committed to, wait and see.
Only there's a 50 quid fine. Do you want a blast of fresh air?
No, I'm fine, thanks.
Electric windows. Fantastic, aren't they? Up. Down. Space at the press of a button. I couldn't do without them now. 32 years driving a cab and I'm claustrophobic. Mad, innit? Mind you, I'm agoraphobic too, so at least I feel safe in here.
Oh, good. New labour, new danger. New labour, new danger. Now, how do you say that? Where's that memo? Oh, trapped in my briefcase.
Got them all, me. All the phobics. About the only thing I'm not frightened of is rabbits. Mad, innit?
Rabbits, eh? Don't mention fox hunting or handguns.
Rabbits and traffic. Couldn't do cabin if I was frightened of traffic.
No.
That'd be madness. I like traffic, it's a challenge. Imagine if all the roads were clear, right? Instead of completely blocked like they are now. You wouldn't need to find the shortcuts, would you? You wouldn't need to think laterally, and eventually, you'd forget the knowledge. You read that book, Warship Down?
Yes.
Rabbits and Traffic, in the same book. Mad, innit? Right on.
Warship Down. Hazel and Whitby. They would have voted for us. They didn't think it was time for a change. They were happy where they were, nibbling on familiar dandelions. What was the little one called?
That's £10.40, Governor. Thanks very much, very generous. I hope you don't mind me asking, but is it important, this thing you're doing?
Well, quite. Very.
Oh,
yes.
I think it looks like you've got a bit of bacon or something stuffed in your top pocket.
Blast. So I have.
John's interviewing Mr. Blair as we speak. Then we'll recap on the main headline, so you should be on air at 8:21 and away by 8:28. Shall I take that mug for you?
Oh, thanks.
Best husband in the world. Oh, how nice, Mr. Robbins.
Dank.
Sorry?
George Dank.
Oh, for the Today programme, we were expecting the Minister of Transport.
No, I'm Minister for Roads. Hasn't Jennifer Stevens had an asthma attack?
How very embarrassing for you, Mr. Dank, considering. If you'd just like to wait in here, coffee machine, morning papers, you can listen into Tony's interview if you like. This switch here. On.
Look, you know, I think the people of Britain are fed up with this amoral, unscrupulous, selfish, stupid, depraved and feeble hour-by-hour government.
Off. All right?
Super. Great. Fantastic. Thanks, Hazel.
Helen.
Whoops. I met a girl, she was a
fraud quencer. The Secret Diary of Anne Dank. February the 14th, 1997. Valentine's Day is a stupid, oppressive myth designed to keep women dependent on the attentions of men, full stop. Who aren't worth it anyway, triple exclamation mark. God, I'm bored, and I've only been home 3 days. I'm sorry. Outing the headmistress in the sun is not an expelling offence. But hasn't she got a sense of humour? Frankly, it's her fault for buying the school paparazzi society a telephoto lens. I'm probably suicidal today. It's a whole campaign build-up thing. Mum's got her all-in-one blue turban dress out, and Dad's doing his 5-yearly pre-election diet. And now he's on the Today programme. It's so embarrassing. He thinks he'll become a media superstar and get asked on, "Have I got news for you?" Yeah, pets win prizes, more like. My dad looks like a balloon. See diagram below.
Anne is very negative. I do hope the Miss Stoker saga doesn't come out in the campaign. But it's Mrs. Driscoll I feel sorry for, and the look on her husband's face. New Labour, new. This coffee's revolting.
Thank you so much for your time, Mr. Blair.
Superb timing.
Great. Thanks very much. Morning.
Morning. George Dank?
Yes, sir.
George Dank?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Well, good luck in there.
Thanks.
This way,
okay. Tony.
See you soon, then.
Bye then, Tony. Bye. Bye then, Tony. Thanks. Isn't he great?
Mm-hmm.
1 minute to broadcast, George. Listen to the programme and I'll take you through when we're ready for you.
Tony Blair has unveiled his new plans for New Labour's new transport policy,
which he thinks might include
a commitment to traffic calming and park and ride schemes countrywide.
You know, imagination.
And he's also possibly pledged to invest all profit from new toll roads into public transport, in which case Labour may, perhaps, if it's elected in the future, be able to buy back privatised rail tracks with a European grant.
Oh, what?
Probably. In a moment, we'll be speaking to George Dank, MP, Minister for Roads. But first, parents who refuse to enforce a curfew on their children will be fined.
All right, Mr. Dank, if you'd like to come through. Oh, dear. Oh, look at you. Did you have an accident with your coffee?
Yes. Skip, Radio 4. This is 92-something, right?
Oh, this is mad.
You're listening to Radio 1, and today is that special day.
Oh, yesterday. Why do they have to make these announcements so bloody early? Where's the phone? The cordless... Why?
Oh, heavy. This is, like, really heavy, isn't it? I didn't get to bed till 4, Dan. I'm not a morning person.
Could you help, Skip?
Oh, right, yeah. OK, phone. When did I last see it? Definitely didn't take it home. Or did I?
In the filing cabinet, of course. Here. Red alert for Rhodes. Have we missed it? Huh? Well, what did he say? Right. Uh-huh. Yes. Well, nothing then. Damn. Well, how can Rhodes not be an election issue after Honiton?
I think I might have filed it, Dan. Yeah, I did. Under F.
Thanks, Skip.
Are they building that bypass, then?
The final appeal ruling should be announced this morning. But I don't think they'll have the guts. Not so close to an election. Not so soon after Honiton, eh?
Wouldn't they? Oh, well. That's all right, then.
34.5-inch figure.
Please.
Baby cat sends a long purr to her big
growly
dog and says, meow, you powerful, us dynamite.
If re-elected, we will develop
already?
A very good priority system,
Mum?
Which I will call
Mother!
Prioritising.
Dad's on!
There are three basic categories. Priority one, priority two, and longer-term priorities. Prioritisation will focus on priorities like motorway widening and priorities like bypasses.
Mum! Mummy! Mother!
Be a priority for us,
Hermione! Dad's on the radio now!
Giglio! Giglio!
What? Purgatory, Canto 6. It's a pun! A French lily, of course! This will revolutionise Dante studies and put the Reading Italian faculty firmly on the map. And I'm going to be very famous indeed!
New Labour are burning the field while the cows are still in it.
Is that Porgy?
Everyone's famous for 15 minutes, Mother. He's just said that traffic makes you think laterally. I imagine that's why he hates driving.
Turn it up!
Our record, we have cut our trunk road spending by 15%. We're always looking for possible tax cuts. But last year, we only spent £820 million on roads, and that is only £320,000 an hour. And that really is a tiny sum.
Is that bad?
It's hilarious.
But you're still building roads in the face of very strong public opposition, Newbury and Honiton, for instance. In fact, I think there are plans to build a bypass through your own constituency. And your constituents are firmly against it. They expect the ruling on their final appeal today.
Well, yes, but I don't see that...
What's the outcome of that appeal going to be, Mr. Dank?
I wouldn't know.
You're the Minister for Roads and you wouldn't know?
Policy. When it's a matter that concerns your own constituency, you're not allowed into the meetings. It's frustrating, but there it is.
It's also rather convenient.
Well, I don't...
Your constituents have submitted a petition with 10,000 signatures to the Department of Transport in protest at the proposed plans. Now, with Labour 20% ahead in the polls, your chances of re-election must be diminishing daily.
Pardon?
Your former colleague Sir George Gardner was deselected after a vote of no confidence only last month. These things happen. If your constituents feel that you no longer represent their interests, they are simply not going to re-elect you. They may indeed deselect you.
The appeal will be successful, probably. Anyway...
You were re-elected in 1992 with a relatively slim majority.
But in the last 5 years, I have listened to my constituency needs, John. I have a surgery. Support and serve. That's the Dank dictum.
So, let's say, Mr. Dank, that the Department of Transport turns down the appeal and construction work actually begins. Will you therefore be supporting your constituents?
Did I say my surgery is weekly?
No. Given that we're coming up to a general election and that you're determined, you say, to support and serve your constituents who don't want the bypass, where would you stand on direct action, Mr. Dank?
Well, I'm pretty direct and still quite active much of the time.
So the thought of climbing trees isn't physically out of the question?
No. Robin Hood, tree houses, rather appealing.
So you might go and live up a tree, then, if the appeal were to be overturned?
I mean, if my constituents really thought it would help, I suppose, yes.
Can I just make this clear? To the listeners, please. You have said, Mr. Dank, that you, Minister for Roads, would go and live up a tree if the plans for the Tittybot bypass are carried through.
Yes. I am a man of my word, John. Trusty Tory. End of story.
Didn't mention the NHS, rail track, L-fired, or the Royal Yacht. Didn't mention the war. Well, I think that went rather well. Yes, I think. Taxi!
It was a terrible, terrible mistake. But perhaps Dante's biggest mistake of all was to become involved in politics in the first place.
Did you hear her husband on the radio?
It was an unavoidable
thick as a pig.
Their poor daughter.
Probably a square.
With the black wolves.
The who, Dr. Dank? The Black Guelphs, his enemies. He lost his place on the Consiglio.
What's that?
His seat, Julian. He was driven into exile, never to return.
But, Dr. Dank, if he hadn't got thrown out, we wouldn't have the Divine Comedy, would we?
Exactly! And the sophistication and complexity of the Commedia's symbolism and imagery owe much to the fact that Dante is recalling at once both his outer and inner political and spiritual experiences.
You wasn't. She'd finished.
For Dante, politics and religion meld together like cheeses on a pizza. And the conflict and confusion of motifs or cheeses become an integral part of this delicious topping of Hendecker syllables he's cooked up for us. Next week, lacerations of the body in Dante. Pain, disintegrity, and the imagination of the medieval torturer.
George, no, Miss McWinnie, he's not back in the office yet. Burn in hell. Yes, I'll tell him. He's not back yet. Stephen? George Stanks? I don't think it was meant to be a joke, Mr. Redwood. Sorry. Son of Spock.
If it isn't the Malcolm X of Tarmac.
Well, good morning, Jennifer. Look, I don't mean to whinge, but you didn't ring to let them know.
Oh, I am sorry.
Oh, that's all right. You know, John Humphreys is really very friendly in real life, you know. Any feedback yet?
Some. It's like the Valentine's Day Massacre, George.
No cards, then?
Not me. You. The department's gone mental. You thought Stephen Dorrell put his foot in it over Europe. This is worse. Stephen. Yes, you're in luck.
It's Robbins.
Oh, good. Hello, Stephen. So, yes, any tips for your understudy?
Thank you, Hugh.
John Humphreys is very friendly in real life, you know.
You. Hello, my inhaler.
I haven't got your inhaler.
No, not you moron. You stupid excuse for a minister.
Pardon?
Your job's on the line now, Dank. Idiot, you. Off games, note of a man. You've made the department look like amateurs. Go and live in a tree, would you? I'll nail you to a bloody tree, Dank.
Yes, I'm sorry, he's tied up at the moment. I'll call you back.
Jennifer, what have I done? What's going on?
The yellow folder on your desk. You didn't read it, did you?
What?
Yes, Mrs. Lahr. Salisbury Conservatives, George.
Oh,
George, we're delighted. Finally shown us what you're made of. No question of us voting Lib Dem now. Oh, as long as you mean it, of course.
Pardon?
We're right behind you, all the way up.
Oh,
Chief Whip, George.
Oh, good.
Terrible timing, Dank. A majority of one in the House, backbenchers rebelling, a PM who can't choose a pudding, let alone how to go in Europe. So, public apology lunchtime, OK? Retraction on the 1 o'clock news.
Well,
Hello, your wife, George.
Oh,
surprise! Yeah. Be my valentine.
All right, but I'm a bit tied up.
Yes, of course, you were good, Porgy. I listened to the whole thing. So much better than either of the Dumblebees. And Anne thinks you were funny, so you do appeal to youth, you see?
I'm quite busy, darling.
Of course. Later then, Porgy.
It's the bypass, isn't it?
No, it's an intergalactic superhighway. Of course it is, George.
They've turned down the appeal.
They want to push it through pre-election. Oh, and, Swampy rang.
Please, Swampy.
How many others are there?
What did he want?
He and Sir Arthur Pendragon welcome you wholeheartedly to the world of radical politics.
Oh.
I've paraphrased.
Oh, my God.
Don't cry, you great ninny.
Jennifer, what am I going to do?
To tree or not to tree? That's the question.
No word from Dank himself about his plan, so it's still too early to say what he will do. But he's certainly caught in a game of potentially deadly Russian roulette in which all the gun's chambers are loaded. So the question we're asking here is, will Dank put his feet where his mouth was and fight the Department of Transport? This is a very cold Louise Bevan reporting from outside George Dank's house for Breakfast News.
There's about 20 reporters in our garden, Mum. Look! That's Louise Bevan.
Your father won't speak, Anne. Not a word.
Ugh, she's eating a Scotch egg. Ugh.
Do you think he'll ever talk again?
Quite nice if he didn't. I could have his study and we could stick him out in the garden shed.
That's not a good idea, Anne. My pottery things are in there. Tea, Porgy. Oh, say something.
Not going to work today, then, Dad?
Ow!
Mind the fork!
Red alert for Rhodes. Statement to press. Full stop. We strongly welcome George Dank's commitment to direct action. And are you keeping up, Skip?
Oh, I've lost the R again, Dan.
Come here, I'll do it.
Oh, isn't this exciting? It's all go, isn't it? Are we like asking them not to build it then?
Look, we're chaining Dank to his statement. We've got to make sure the public don't forget what he said. And then sit back and hope the Department of Transport call a review.
Cool. Fight the Tory Nazi fascists.
Minister up a tree. It's perfect. They can't say we're all dreadlocked dull scroungers now.
Oh, excellent.
We've got all the bases covered. Swampy, the epitome of post-cynical idealist chic versus Dank. The epitome of post-establishment round of golf not in my backyard geek. They'll be writing columns comparing them for weeks.
Excellent!
Christmas has come, Skip, with bells on.
Ding-a-ling!
George Dank has sandwiched himself into a no-birds-in-the-hand should-I-or-shouldn't-I-go-into-the-bush-after-the-other-two dilemma. But as I say, Edward, still no real change in what is now a deadlock come very rusty lock indeed scenario. This is Louise Bevan.
You've got some fan mail, Porgy. Isn't that nice?
Speaking can be fun, Father. Écoutez et répétez. I like biscuits.
Any comment yet, Mr. Dank?
Go away!
If you could just give us some idea of the schedule we're working with.
Go away!
Mr. Dank, you can't kill the spirit. You are an inspiration to all other disingenuous fat tossers who call themselves politician. Good on you. Barney from Lewisham. Dante had a very similar experience.
Please, no Dante.
Inferno is packed full of fat politicians, Porgy, and popes.
No, Dante!
Do you think he'll ever talk again?
Don't hold your breath. He's got a whole wagon wheel in there. What's happened to the pre-election diet, Dad?
There's something doomed and beautiful about him.
Your dressing gown's in the jam, Dad.
Hello, George. These are days of madness. Thanks for thinking of us. May you see a new summer. The trees of Oxley's Wood, London SW9. Talking trees, you see. Dante again. Wood of the Suicides, Inferno Canto 13. How lovely.
Maybe you should set up a fan club.
Mr. Dank, you are beautiful.
I am blind.
And what you are doing is a beautiful thing.
I'm also mad.
May the branches and leaves of life protect you and empower you. Yours restfully, Diana of Woodford Green.
Puke.
I'll get it. This whole situation is shudderingly, joyfully, prophetically full of Dante parallels, Porgy dear. I'm having such a nice time. You are Dante, the hero, the scholar, the leader of men. It adds a whole new angle to our relationship. Nel mezzo del cammin di nostra vita mi ritrovai per una selva oscura che la...
Stop it!
How many letters have I got?
He speaks. The poet-politician speaks.
How many?
18. You've got 18, George.
How many headlines?
All of them. And the Guardian's done a pass notes on you.
What?
Question. Who is this man, George Dank, and why haven't I heard of him? Answer. Because until yesterday he was utterly inconsequential. It says here that Tilda Swinton wants to do a one-man show about you up at the Edinburgh Festival. Your news, George. Look at all those reporters out there in the garden. Mrs. Rimmer's made a packet selling them sandwiches.
Journos. Despicable bloodsuckers. And to think, I'm the pull. I'm the magnet for all those pens and cameras and microphones.
That was Jennifer. Panorama wants an exclusive interview.
Panorama, eh?
It speaks.
Robbins has never done a panorama.
Where are you going?
Just to read my fan mail in peace. Oh, and get Jennifer on the phone, will you? I feel a speech coming on.
You can't take the Jaffa cakes. I haven't had any yet. Dad!
Sunday, the 15th of February. The Secret Anthology of Anne Dank. The Fool. Fat father in your dressing gown, with a carpet of letters around you like a lot of leaves in autumn. Read between the lines, fat parent. You are a ball trapped in the lottery machine, which is life. And you have the number 13 printed on your bald head. What will you do, Fat Father? It is cold and the tree is high. And you have the number 13 printed on your bald head.
Still no retraction from George Dank MP as dusk falls here outside his three-bedroom, three-storey pressure cooker of a house. The sand also falls through the political hourglass for George Dank. Unless he makes a decision soon, his eggs are going to be very hard-boiled indeed. But the front door is opening and, yes, George Dank, I believe he's finally coming out. Mr. Dank.
Hello. Good evening.
And he's followed by his wife. Wearing an astonishing
Hello.
Blue... is it a turban? Is it a dress? I just don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen of the press, I'm not going to beat around the bush. because it is the bush that is at stake. I've been doing some soul-searching over the last 24 hours, mm-hmm. and do you know, those spunky little rabbits in Watership Down keep popping up in my head. Hazel and Wigbig and...
Pfeiffer.
Thank you, yes. Why was it that their natural rhythm of life was destroyed? Why did they have to up burrows and move?
Men were building a housing development.
Wasn't it a road?
No.
Anyway, I'd like to thank my family, my constituents, my country, my party, my fans, the police, my special advisor, Jennifer, and all of you for... And after long and detailed consideration, I feel it's in everybody's best interests if I branch away from the Ministry of Transport over this issue. I will always be proud of my role as junior minister, particularly of my involvement in the construction of the Thanet Wood bypass. But this is perhaps a moment to move onwards and upwards. Ladies and gentlemen of the press, I'm going up.
Yay! Just have a smile.
Now, if you wouldn't mind waiting while I chuck a few things into a trunk, you can all follow me there, take photos, write about me, whatever you like. There will be mulled wine.
Yay.
Thank you.
Hello, Jennifer.
Oh, Stephen, I wish you wouldn't creep up on me like that.
Oh, you're blushing, Jennifer. What have you got there?
Nothing.
Ah, a map of Tittybot Wood. F.A.O. George, you and Dank are close, aren't you, Jennifer? You rogering him.
Oh, always so charming, Mr. Robbins. No, I'm not.
Oh, wouldn't want to think we had a Judas in the department. You might have been attached to Dank before today, but now you report to me. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Let him find his own way. Dank's in the wilderness now. I'm going to get Humpty Dumpty off the wall, Jennifer, and when I've finished with him, not the King's horses, not the King's men, not even Max Clifford's going to be able to put him together again. Oh, that's a pretty blouse, Jennifer. How are you fixed for dinner?
Protesting Too Much starred John Fortune as George Dank, Eleanor Bron as Hermione Dank, Louisa Millwood Haig as Anne Dank, Brian Bowles as Robbins, Chris Pavlow as Dan, Sally Phillips as Jennifer, Elliot Nichols as Skip and Helen, Alan Francis as the taxi driver, and Brian Perkins and John Humphreys as themselves. All other parts were played by members of the cast. It was written by Kate Brooke and Sally Phillips and produced by Jane Bertu.
Nel mezzo del cammin di nostra vita... Mi ritrovai per una selva oscura. Yes, yes, in a dark wood. La diritta via era smarrita, in which we could not find a straight path.
Are we nearly there yet, Dad?
You see, as far as I can remember, there should be some sort of path here, some sort of straight path.
Ow! Oh, that's the third time we've been past that pond, and I've definitely seen that bush before.
Then we're nearly there. Nearly there. Come on, everyone. Should be just over the next hill.